Something to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and I'd like to start with verse 16. Acts chapter 2 and verse 16. And these are the words of the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And so, friends, we are giving ourselves, now that we are done with the second epistle of Peter, I want to give ourselves several weeks where we'll be dealing with some of the fundamental things that we believe. So, a number of topical themes, dealing with, starting with some of those supposedly controversial ones. They're not controversial ones, actually. But everything is controverted these days, so these are themes where we have a distinctive standing as a church. We want to treat these things. When we started a few years ago, I remember we treated some of these, but we wanted to be fresh a little if we have forgotten some of them. So some of these themes, some of these distinctive persuasions among us, so that we know what are our scriptural foundations for them. So tonight we're dealing with the prophetic ministry, so the ministry of the prophets. And we are starting with this one. Hopefully we'll be picking up the others one after the other in the Bible study, hoping to make plain what we stand for. Now everyone, at least every one of us know that our standing, and that has been the standing of a great majority of Christians until the coming of first the Pentecostal movement and then the charismatic movement that followed suit. That has been the standing of the majority of Christians, that these prophetic ministries have ceased, that they are no longer there. What is it that persuaded our forebears to stand for that and believe that? We'll be touching on some of them. Evidently, I want to be as quick as possible, so I may not be able to cover everything, but I'll try. If I'm not able to cover everything, we would have to pick up another of that next week, the Lord willing. But I want us to start with one of the key verses. It's one of the popular verses among the charismatics whenever they want to talk about prophetic ministry. It's the prophecy of Joel, in Joel chapter 2, verses 28-32. And we're not going to Joel because Apostle Peter quotes it here. So we have the work done for us, our work shortened, if you like. Yeah, so we start with this prophet, passage here, and try to understand what it does actually teach. And so please, I just have a look at it again, verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, the first thing to notice is that Joel says, Peter tells us that Joel was saying that in the last days. What is the last days? That's always important to understand and define, because the Bible tells us that the last days refer to the period beginning with the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ at first to the end. The entire span is what is called the last days. We have a number of evidences in Scripture, and I tend to two of them, and I'm going, first of all, I'm sure you know that some of the verses, I'm sure you know, but dear friends, for freshness, we really have to try and still read them. So Hebrews chapter 1, and we have a good example here for us, and Hebrews is particularly helpful because it gives us a clear view of the entire period of God's dealings with His people. And so Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. And so we see that it is a period beginning with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to speak. As in contrast to the Old Testament period. So, you see that Hebrews divides the period of God's dealings in the world into two, what he calls the former times and the latter days, or the latter times. Or the last days, the former times will be the Old Testament period, and then the last days will be the period beginning at the coming of Christ, all the way to the time that the Lord Jesus Christ will return, the second time. And we have another insight in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Let's start from 18 just to make it a bit clearer, so you see the context a little more. So 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 to 20, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, so the Lord Jesus Christ, now bear that in mind, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. So what are the last days, last time referred to? When the Lord Jesus Christ was manifested, wasn't it? So it's first coming all the way to the second coming. So let's come down, dear friends, back to Acts chapter 2, and then pick up the other details. So, in verse 17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall... I'm reading the entire prophecy of Joel now, because we want to see the entirety of it, if we can. I will, 17 there again, friends. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord. So notice that also, my dear friends. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is Joel talking about? That Apostle Peter is saying that the advent of Pentecost actually fulfills. Now, Joel, and of course Apostle Peter here by inspiration, was drawing attention to four things that would happen within the Spirit. Four major things. Unfortunately, charismatics only see one, the prophetic ministry. And that's part of the problem. So Joel mentions, and Apostle Peter mentions, four major things that would happen during this period, from the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord. And so the first is I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Now, is it upon all flesh? It will be the outpouring of the Spirit of all, upon all flesh now. This will lead to others. They are connected, but still, they are things you can identify individually. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The Holy Spirit will be poured upon all flesh. We'll try and explain it. I just want to draw out the four things, and then we'll see the others. I will pour out of my Spirit, upon all flesh. So the first one is the outpouring of the Spirit on all flesh. What does that mean? We'll come to that. And then the second item is there, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and the old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And so you have the prophetic ministry as the second item. There will be the outpouring of the Spirit. You have the prophetic ministry as the second item. And then verse 19, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. What's that day, notable day? We know in the Bible that refers to the second coming of the Lord, isn't it? The great and notable day is always a reference to the second coming of the Lord. So the third item is signs or evidences of the coming of the Lord. So the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be the thing we'll be looking out for. And then we have here or the signs, yes, of his coming. Then verse 21, and it shall come to pass, this is another important matter, they should not ignore it, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There shall be conversions during the period. Okay, so in the last days, according to Joel, emphasized again by Peter, four things would happen. There will be the pouring out of the Spirit, there will be the prophetic ministry, there will be those signs leading to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then there will be conversions during that time. Now, the next question to ask is that, was Joel teaching that all these things, all the four things, going to happen all through the other time? Well, all the four go on throughout the time? We say no. In fact, two of them evidently will go on throughout the time. Two of them will not go on throughout the time, but some of the time. The first thing that will go on throughout the time, it's easy to see. For example, here, back to verse 17. What is it that will go on throughout the time? And I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. There will be the giving of the Holy Spirit throughout the time. Because as let me pick them in and take time to try and show them. There will be the giving of the Holy Spirit on all flesh. Now, don't be scared by the term on all flesh. It doesn't mean every single individual. It doesn't mean that. We know in the Scripture the Lord Jesus Christ said that the world cannot receive the Spirit. So, evidently, it's not referring to every single individual. This is when Scripture uses a phrase, you have to let it explain. When the Bible says that on all flesh, it means that all kinds of flesh. So, it shall be Jews and Gentile, there shall be the young and the old, there shall be the rich and the poor, who will receive the Holy Spirit come upon them. All flesh, all kinds of people. It cannot be every kind of person. That's evident. Otherwise, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ will be contradicted so terribly. And so, the Holy Spirit will be given because we are told in Scripture, and I'll be referring to one or two texts very soon, we are told that the Holy Spirit is given to everyone who comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ only. In fact, it is God who, when a person, somebody may vainly profess to be a Christian, but Almighty God knows the person's heart. And if the person hasn't truly come to Him, one of the things the Lord wouldn't do is He will not grant him His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not be granted him because the Holy Spirit will be the seal of the person's belonging to the Lord. Let me turn to two or three texts. Even it's fairly straightforward, but as I said, want to deepen these things as possible. I go to Acts of the Apostles first. Please, if you like, let me come backwards. So let me go to Acts 15 first. I have a very beautiful statement there, and I'll come back backwards to some two more texts that prove or demonstrate that which is said in Acts chapter 15. So Acts chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. Remember, this is where there's a discussion in Jerusalem concerning the Gentiles in Antioch, because some people are going to tell them that they had to be circumcised before God receives them. And they are gathered and are speaking, and these are the words of Peter. And this is what he said. Let's start from place verse 7. So verse 7 to 9. And when they had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe it. Watch verse 8. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. How is the Holy Spirit given? When people truly believe. And this is why we are always warning people, you cannot fool a church and pretend a kind of a shallow profession of faith. Once it will become evident, the Lord won't grant you His Holy Spirit. And so there will be no real change in our lives. We will still remain in our love of sin and disobedience and love of God. But friends, the point is this, that God gives the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles when they believed. So, now let's come back, because Peter himself, the experience he spoke about here is enlarged in chapter 10 and 11 of Acts. So Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. And you have Peter's experience actually enlarged here. So Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 47. And then Peter uses the experience here to defend himself in Jerusalem in chapter 11. And so Acts chapter 10, verse 44 to 47. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. This is Cornelius' house. The Holy Spirit fell on them. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is given because these people believed, isn't it? So we know when the Holy Spirit is given. Verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That would be one of the subjects in our series of discussion. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? You see, so the giving of the Holy Spirit to these Gentiles convinces Peter that God receives Gentiles also. And he says this very plainly in chapter 11, verse 14. Chapter 11, verse 14. Again, please, let me start from verse 13 to make it a bit more clear. Chapter 11. And he showed us how he had, that is referring to Cornelius' experience, and he, that is referring to Cornelius now, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. So it's about salvation, isn't it? When they come, when Peter was supposed to be sent, he would come to give them a message for them to be saved. And then let's go on. Verse 15. And this is Peter saying, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. The expression as on us at the beginning, it's a very powerful one. We'll come to that when we're dealing with speaking with tongues and the others soon. And so another time. So the Holy Spirit fell on them, he says. You see it there. So Peter is saying that, and then Peter himself says this, verse 16, look at it there. Then remembered I the words of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and so forth. And so the point we are trying to prove here is that the first part of the four items belonging to the last days, which is the pouring of the Holy Spirit, is given to those who believe. Cornelius' case and Peter's own testimony, this time not in Cornelius' case only, but the entire Gentile world, you know, the center of Gentile mission in Antioch, where the question came up and they had to bring it back to Jerusalem to discuss that. And so the giving of the Holy Spirit is given at conversion. It's so clear in the Bible that I didn't think we have to turn to too many texts of this. If you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. Romans chapter 8. And so the Holy Spirit is given to us at conversion. And so one of the things is that the Holy Spirit will be poured upon people. The wonderful thing will be this. It will not be Jews only, Gentiles also. You see how the Jews were surprised? They thought the Gentiles could not be received by God. And here they were, the Holy Spirit giving to them also to show that God receives the Gentiles. So this is the idea of the all flesh, Jews and Gentiles. That's what Apostle Paul uses the expression in his epistles. Okay, now the second thing that would occur throughout the whole period is conversions, isn't it? So I'm jumping now because I would pick up the others. So in verse 21, back to Acts chapter 2, this is obvious, isn't it? And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So during this period called the last days, there shall be the giving of the Holy Spirit, because the preaching of the gospel will go on throughout the time. And I'm sure I don't need to turn a page of scripture, but nevertheless, let me just read one. Everybody knows this, I'm sure. Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So it shall go on throughout the time, up to the very time the Savior comes. So it is going to go on throughout the time. Please, are you following that? So we have two of them going on throughout the time. The giving of the Holy Spirit, because wherever there's conversion, the Holy Spirit will be given throughout the times. And there will be conversions, a gospel preached the whole time. Two, would not go on the whole time. And I'm referring first of all to the one that's very easy to see, then I'll come to the naughty one. The one that obviously wouldn't go on the whole time is the sign of the second coming of Christ. The signs in the sky. Matthew 24 tells us it will be very close, when we are very close to the coming of the Lord. It is not going to happen right at the beginning when the Lord Jesus Christ came, all the way till he came. But when, who knows, a few days, a few weeks, who knows, when the Lord is about to come, these signs will be shown. As in Acts chapter 2, we saw it there in verse 19. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day. What does that day? The day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. So obviously, this aspect that belongs to the last days wouldn't go on the whole time. It will begin to happen very shortly towards the very close of that period. Okay, the second thing that will not go on the whole time is the prophetic ministry. That also wouldn't go on the whole time. And the question is, how do we know this? How can we prove that this wouldn't go on the whole time? A simple way to just give a very quick answer before I get into anything else is to ask yourself, the former times, remember we said that Hebrews chapter 1 divides the whole time into two. Do you remember? The former time, the latter time. The former time, the last days. The Old Testament period, the New Testament period. The Bible divides gives us these two periods. The question you ask is that, was there prophetic ministry in the Old Testament time, in the Old Testament period? Yes, there was. Will there be prophetic ministry in the New Testament times? Yes, there will be. That's what the passage is saying. There will be a prophetic ministry in the New Testament times. No question about that. The second question, so we are saying, as there was a prophetic ministry in the Old Testament time, there will be prophetic ministry in the New Testament time. New Testament time, we mean what Joel called the last days. And the Old Testament is what Hebrews means, the former times. Okay. The second question is this. Will the prophetic ministry go on throughout that period? There will be prophetic ministry. Will it go on throughout the period? From the beginning of that period to the very end of that period? We say no. Why? Because we go back to the Old Testament to draw an example. In the Old Testament, did the prophetic ministry go on the whole period? The answer is no. It didn't go on for the whole period. The Old Testament period ended at the beginning of John the Baptist's ministry. Then when the Old Testament period ended, John the Baptist began to announce the coming of the Lord, wasn't it? And so, you have the Old Testament period. When did the prophetic ministry cease? Did it cease at any time? Yes, it did. When did it cease? It ceased when all that God will reveal to his people were recorded. So when Malachi had given his ministry, had given his message, the period itself was going on, but the prophetic ministry ceased when the message God was giving for them had been completed. Everybody knows that after Malachi, there was 300 years, sometimes we call it 400 years of silence. That was the period where, that's where you have the Roman Catholics having those extra biblical materials in their Bibles that we call it Apocrypha. The period of the Maccabees and the Esdras and those persons, that was the period. the reason why those books, those literature was rejected, not only by evangelical Christians, but by the Jews themselves, was that the Jews themselves knew that there was no prophetic ministry. The prophetic ministry had ceased when God had given them His scriptures. Now, let's try and explain this further. The question is, what was the purpose of the prophetic ministry? Why was there a prophetic ministry? Was it God's intention the prophetic ministry go on the whole time? Now, we read from New Testament that the prophetic ministry had a purpose. And what was that purpose? And that's what we have to discover, isn't it? What was the purpose of that prophetic ministry? Because God did not simply, I'm sure you know, one of the early incidences that made the prophetic ministry very needed was when Moses had come from the mountain and the people of Israel had been prepared to meet God, so God was going to speak to them. And then when God began to speak, they were so afraid, they couldn't bear it. And then they told Moses that, please don't let God speak to us anymore. You speak to us, we'll listen. And so God said, okay, I will speak to Moses, and Moses will speak to you. And so we saw the purpose of the prophetic ministry, where that person chosen, as our first Peter says, that holy man is filled with the Spirit, are chosen by God, and God gives them His word, and they give that word to His people. That was their work. What was the purpose of that? The Bible tells us its purpose, right from Old Testament through to the New Testament. What was the purpose of the prophetic ministry? Once we discover the purpose of the prophetic ministry, then we begin to see why the purpose had been accomplished, and therefore their work is done. So I'm turning to a number of verses. First of all, I'm going to Acts chapter 3, verse 18, down to about 24. Now this is still part of, this is Peter preaching, this time at the beautiful gate, after healing that man. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled. So mark these words carefully. So there was a purpose. It was in vain. It wasn't merely a nice thing that God was sending prophets. There was a purpose. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets, what was it? That Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled. Now let's go on. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. And then 21, notice carefully please. Whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Okay, so they spoke about the restitution of all things that is connected with Christ. Well, the restitution, when everything, when the fallen world will be recovered. That's a restitution. The world is fallen, is under a curse. We are told in Romans chapter 8, but God will recover this when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. So the prophet, he tells us, had been speaking about this. 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. We know this about the Lord Jesus Christ. But our point here is verse 28. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these things. Ye are the children of the prophecy, goes on. So what have been the prophet's burden and message? Christ.
That was their purpose. That was why God brought them, to show Christ. And then Peter speaks even more pointedly. 1 Peter chapter 1. So there was a purpose for the prophetic ministry. It wasn't an open for all kind of thing. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. Now, please let's start from verse 8 to make it a bit more clear. The word, point itself is in actually verse 10 there, but verse 8. Whom, this is the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in verse 7, the last of verse 7. Whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now you see him not, ye believe in. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. And then listen to this. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and said diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. What was the heart of their work? Christ. Christ and his work. This is why they were sent. And so Peter tells us those prophets were searching into that, because the Spirit of Christ in them was moving them to speak about those. And they wanted to grasp and be able to know. Of course they were limited, because these were Old Testament prophets. They didn't see as so much of that. And so you see, so what was their concern? Christ and his work, his suffering. This is their purpose, to reveal those, to announce this to the whole world. In the Old Testament, and of course I'll mention the New Testament aspect too very soon. And I go with you, my dear friends, if you like, come with me to Ephesians chapter 3. You see how consistent Scripture is. Chapter 3. And if anybody can point out anything else that was the purpose of prophets, of course, you will realize they can't. They can't point to anything else that has to do with the purpose of their work. Now, Apostle Paul speaks even more poignantly. Ephesians chapter 3, and I begin from verse 1. The points themselves are actually beginning verse 3. But an Apostle Paul introduces a very beautiful expression here, which would explain. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, notice that, the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you, what? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore a few words, whereby when you read ye may understand my knowledge of the mystery of Christ. Bear that in mind. What's a mystery? It's a mystery of Christ. Which, look at her verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. So, Apostle Paul introduces another thing. He calls this whole thing a mystery of God's dealing with people. How will God reconcile sinners with himself? It was like the Bible says that the angels were prying into this. How will a holy God deal with us sinners? How will God justify sinners without being unjust himself? Because he cannot wink at sin. He cannot simply ignore it. This is the mystery. Apostle Paul says it is revealed to us, the apostles and the prophets. Now the prophets say their context would show that he would include the New Testament prophets also. But we know from the background of 1 Peter that the Old Testament prophets were also giving insight into this. But the New Testament prophets also were giving this mystery. And this mystery was that which they would proclaim. And then, in order to see specifically this mystery has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, I turn to Colossians. Because here we are told that this mystery specifically has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 25 and 26. So Colossians chapter 1, listen to this. Whereof I am made a minister. Remember they spoke about Christ's affliction there in verse 24. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. What's the word of God? Listen to this. The mystery, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Remember, Ephesians says that it's made manifest through apostles and prophets, and this is the mystery, 27. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's the mystery? Christ. You see, Scripture is very consistent. Come with me to Romans chapter 16. Often you want to pass over that chapter because it's about names. Don't do that, please. So towards the close is a very powerful statement of the Apostle Paul. So Romans chapter 16. Verses 25 and 26. It's a kind of a benediction. So Romans chapter 16, 25 and 26. Listen to this, please. And this is so rich. It's one of the riches in this thing. Now, to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, watch every statement he's making. He calls it my gospel. And the preaching of who? Jesus Christ. And then, this preaching of Jesus Christ is according to the revelation of the mystery. We've spoken about the mystery, isn't it? And then listen to this, which was kept secret since the world began. And then 26, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You have your mystery here. You have the Lord Jesus Christ as the heart of that mystery. And that mystery, we are told, is now revealed. Where is it revealed? In the scriptures of the prophet. So that the mystery, where is it? The purpose of the prophetic ministry was the revelation of that mystery, which is Christ. And that is contained in the prophetic scripture. That's what the Bible is. The Bible is the work of the prophets, the fruits of their labors. And this, one of the beautiful things in this passage is this. It says that some people think that every community will need its local prophet, isn't it? Oh, Apostle Paul counsels that. He says that through that prophetic scripture, by the commandment of the everlasting God, by that prophetic scripture, all nations must obey. Ghana, Israel, wherever. The same scripture. We don't need local prophets. The same prophetic scripture will feed everybody. You see there, my dear friends. And so, it's about Christ, my dear. So what was the purpose of the prophetic ministry? Was reveal Christ. Was to show us Christ. And to announce in Old Testament with a measure of, with less clarity, because they themselves were also struggling. Some of their languages were, sometimes they come through beautifully. Other times a bit shadowy, but it's fully known in the New Testament. The question somebody may ask is this. If it is the purpose to reveal Christ, then when Christ came, why would there be prophetic ministry? Because Joel's prophecy had to do with when Christ is going to heaven and the Holy Spirit is poured, then the prophetic ministry will go on. If the whole essence of that prophetic ministry was to reveal Christ, then when Christ came and had finished his work and gone to heaven, why should there be prophetic ministry? Why? Because Joel's prophets were saying that there would be that prophetic ministry. The answer simply was given by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And turn with me, my dear friends, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and then let's pick up verse 25 and 26, and then we'll go to chapter 15. So John 14, 25 and 26.
These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So, what will be the purpose of the prophetic word? When the Holy Spirit, remember, it's connected to the pouring out of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is giving, and there's that prophetic ministry going on again, the Lord Jesus Christ, and when that Holy Spirit comes, he will give you all truth. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ has said in this chapter that there are so many things I want to tell you, you cannot bear them now. But when the Holy Spirit is come, he will show you these things. And then, chapter 15, 26. Chapter 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. So the Holy Spirit will still teach them and teach the disciples about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ didn't tell them during physical presence on earth, didn't tell his church everything he wanted to teach them. There was still more to teach them. So the Holy Spirit, who will come upon them and let them reveal these things to them, would let them fulfill all those things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question that I've been asked me a few times has been this. Okay, now, if the Holy Spirit will come upon these apostles and bear witness in that special way, where they would speak as original, speak for the Lord Jesus Christ as prophets and as apostles, why can't he also come to us in the same way? I don't know whether I'm making myself clear. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said the Holy Spirit will come upon, the Holy Spirit will bear witness of me. And then he will reveal me, he will speak of me. Now, we know that he would do that, or he did that in the apostles when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they bore that witness. Why can't we have the same experience as they? Have the Holy Spirit come upon us in the same way as it came to them, so that we bear witness as they bore. So that our witness, because we say clearly that our witness here, and when we're dealing with signs and wonders, then I may emphasize that more, our witness is different from that of the apostles. So these apostles were going to be original witnesses. We, if you like, will be copy witnesses. Why? Because we will take from them and proclaim it. The Lord Jesus Christ said that clearly. Look at verse 27 in John chapter 15 here. And verse 26, he speaks about the Holy Spirit doing this. 26 again. And when the Comforter is come, whom the Father was, I beg your pardon, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And then the Lord draws attention to their own special witness. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye had been with me from the beginning. This is a strong condition. Remember in Acts chapter 1, when they were looking for a replacement for Judas, this was a condition. We needed somebody who had been with us from the beginning, from the time of John the Baptist, remember. So this is an important condition. These are going to be original witnesses, because they saw the Lord. So do you remember? They will say, we are eyewitnesses of his resurrection. We are not eyewitnesses. We have the witness of Scripture with us. And that is what we embrace. And that is what we proclaim. And so we say that the Lord, Scripture teaches us the purpose of the prophetic ministry. We don't dream it up. We don't create for ourselves. Now, another question would be this. If their purpose was to reveal Christ, then why did we find them sometimes speak about some different things? And prophesy about some different things. For example, we see Elijah prophesy about things that, to some extent, you would say has nothing to do with Christ, wouldn't you? You have Elisha speaking about it that you say it has nothing to do with Christ, isn't it? So why? If it is all about Christ, why? My dear friends, there are two things we must always bear in mind. That when God is acting out His purposes, it is our duty, it is our humble role to listen from Him what He tells us about what His purpose is, and then hold on to that. And even when it doesn't seem, I'll give another answer shortly, even when it doesn't seem to have any direct connection to that purpose which God Himself had declared, we dare not question it, because that's what God has said. A typical example is when you read the life of a person like Gideon. I bring in Gideon in these judges because at their time they would have been God's men through whom His purposes were made known. If you look at this, only one example. If you look at the life of not Gideon, but Samson, for example. If you read their lives, and some people have done this terribly, that's why I'm bringing that to mind. If you read the life of Samson in the book of Judges, he seems a very hopeless man, isn't he so? He seems a man without self-control, and a man marrying, as we'll say, by heart, or something like that. But be careful. Why? Because Hebrews chapter 11 tells you he was a man of faith. So you dare not introduce your own understanding of the man apart from what God Himself has said. Please, this is a fundamental understanding of Scripture. We say Scripture interprets Scripture. That's what we mean. That what Scripture has said about a thing, you dare not bring in different ideas from your perception. If God said this is about this, prime your mind with that. Tell yourself, in my mind, no, this is what God... And the amazing thing is, once you prime your mind with that and begin to look at the thing more carefully with that perspective, you begin to discover that God is absolutely right. His purpose is still at work in that. So that's the first part. The second part is this. Why is it that those activities of some of those prophets sometimes seem to have nothing to do with Christ directly? Our answer is this, that their own works, the things that they sometimes they did that seems to have no connection with Christ, were meant to authenticate them. A prophet needed to be shown as a prophet of God. And that's one of the things the charismatics don't know. They think they just get up on the stage and say, hey, I'm a prophet. Don't you see I'm a prophet? And everybody says, okay, we receive as a prophet. No. No. He must show himself as a prophet by some credentials. And so, it wasn't open for all. So you remember, in the truth, do you have time to turn to that? God was giving the people of Israel, I'm sure you know these two rules God gave them. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, when God told them this, Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, 1 to 3, it tells you how serious it was. You don't just get up and say you are a prophet. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, by the way, in chapter 22, one of the things God has said is that prophet, if he says that something will happen and it doesn't happen, is a bad prophet. That's in chapter 22. If he says that this will happen and it doesn't happen, is a bad one. So he must be able to predict something that comes to pass to assure us that he's a prophet. However, that's the other side of that. The other side is what we have in Deuteronomy 13.
If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and give thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he speak unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth thee or tests you, to know whether you love him. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And he goes on to say that prophet must be stoned. And so, even when what he said has come true, he says, listen to his teaching. Will his teaching draw you away from what God has already taught you? You know he's a bad man. Why was this? Because a prophet doesn't just come and say, hey, I'm a prophet. And everybody should say, okay, we accept you. No. He must give evidence of that. And one of the evidences was some predictions. Predictions that would happen in his lifetime. So that everybody would not, I always make fun of this. If it were not so, I can predict 50 years from now. By the time 50 years come, I'll be in the grave and, well, I don't know what you come to do with my skeleton. So the Lord made sure they gave a prophecy that would occur at their lifetime, so that they had the confidence of the people that these are the servants of the Lord. And then they are teaching. And often their teaching will be confirmed by other existing prophets. Virtually all the prophets had contemporaries. By contemporaries we mean other prophets that were ministering at the time. And so they could confirm each other. So that's why sometimes you see aspect of Hosea's message, you can find it in Isaiah and these, you see. So that it wasn't a kind of an open for all thing. Oh dear friend, just think of it. If the Lord left his people, so that anybody can come around and say, I am a prophet. God is giving me his word. Don't you see how vulnerable we become? Anybody will take us for granted. Anybody will cheat us. And that's what is happening. And Almighty God made sure that wouldn't happen. If there was a prophet, there would have been evidences to prove him. And proved prophets would have attested to his ministry too, so that he is known to be a prophet of the Lord indeed. And so, why did they sometimes see? Let me give an example that comes to mind very quickly, and I'm sure you would connect with that very quickly. Do you remember when the Lord was going to send Moses, and the Lord said, go to the people of Israel and say, the Lord has said, and deliver you from here. You know what Moses said? How will the people believe me? That was natural. And the Lord didn't rebuke Moses. The people won't believe me. And then God said, I will let you do these signs before them, and they will know that I have spoken to you. The Lord knew anybody can be an imposter of a prophet. And so we are not left vulnerable like that, you see. So, why did they do things that seemed... So, when Moses was actually having his skin turn into leprosy and all that, he didn't really have any connection with his mission, did it? No. But it was needed to authenticate him. In fact, to assure he himself that God has indeed sent him. And then, he would like to authenticate him, prove him to be genuine before the people, then he can carry on the mission also. When the prophets seem to do things that seemed not to have any connection with Christ, they were authenticating themselves so that they are known to be the prophets of God. And also, my dear friend, this is important, but I'm sorry, my time is out. So let me turn it to some text now. Another purpose would be this. When they did these wonders, they did them in Israel, so that the people of God were preserved. They were kept under the covenant until Christ came. They knew that the Lord's servants were with them, giving them the very word of God until the Messiah came. You see, so my dear friends, the chief purpose, the sole aim of the prophetic ministry was not to be telling us our personal issues. And we often say this, do we need them to tell us personal things?
One of the sad things they are doing is that they forget that every Christian has access to the throne of God, Ephesians chapter 2. Every Christian must approach the throne of God. Ministers should teach us from the Bible, strengthen our faith, help us deepen our love to Christ and to grow in godliness so that our access before God can be firmer. And we will prove God for ourselves. The Lord never intended that we become dependent on even prophets, even when they were living. His purpose was that they will reveal to us God's purpose. Christ, the mystery hid, not fully known, even through Old Testament, hinted at in a shadowy form until Christ came. And the New Testament prophets were filled with that spirit. There's a fresh outburst of the prophetic ministry to now teach and reveal all that has to be known about Christ. And the question is, will it go on throughout the whole time? No. Why? Because that ministry of revealing Christ will be contained in the scripture. Remember Romans 16? The prophetic scripture will contain that revelation. That's what happened in the old. The same revelation of Christ, where is it revealed? Is that not in scripture? That was what the prophets were sent to give to us. So we say, now that we have the scriptures with us, which tell us everything we need to know about Christ, and His dying love, His coming back, His work in our hearts, what are these prophets here doing? Well, they should find themselves some other job. They can't be prophets, because nobody has called them to that office. So we should have no respect for them, because God hasn't called them at all. Their work is finished, their mystery is revealed, and it's contained in the prophetic scripture, the Bible. And we have it with us. The Lord will pick aspects of that next week also. Now let's